Oh, the heights and depths of the love of our risen and ruling Savior Jesus Christ, who has all things put under him as a footstool. And also said, did not the Christ have to suffer these things and to enter his glory? Lord, guide us in truth. Your word is truth. Dear friends, there are phrases that define your childhood. Now, for those of you who are in it right now, you might think that there are far too many phrases being tossed at you to really think of just one or two that really stick out. For those of us who may be just a year or two or more out of that magical time frame, I'm willing to bet maybe a phrase or two has already popped into your head. And along with those phrases of your childhood, there's another thought that comes along, and that is, when did I become my mother or father? Because I'm willing to bet that the phrase that you're remembering is something that they have said to you, and you have found a day when you opened your mouth and found their voice coming out of you. I feel pretty confident with that because I know it's happened to me. And these days, it's usually when I send my kids to go find something from the pantry. And many is the time that I have sent them to go find an item only to be told that we don't have it or it cannot possibly be found after they had only just arrived at the location. And then from my body springs the voice of my father saying, look with your eyes and not with your mouth. Which means two things. One, don't ask me to look for what I sent you. I sent the kid for a reason. And two, don't just stand there going, I don't see it. Jesus had a phrase that he would use, though I firmly believe that his tone was a little bit different than the tone my parents used with me and that I use with my kids. He had a phrase that he would use when he was trying to break through to his followers, to his disciples, and it over the years has taken a little bit of a tweak because some of us will remember the King James and some of us will remember the NIV and I just read from the EHV. But the phrase is, how slow of heart to believe. This was a phrase that Jesus would use as a launching pad for teaching. And in Luke, the launching pad for an amazing explanation that Luke does not detail out for us. It's when the Savior opened the scripture. He described the key to this wonderful library that's in front of us. He told them about himself, the unexpected Jesus, who was what he was promised to be, and who was where he was supposed to be. Now, we don't really know a whole lot about these Emmaus disciples. We don't know who they are. We have one name for two disciples. And in true fashion, it didn't take antiquity very long to come up with a whole series of stories about what they wanted Cleopas to be. He was sainted very early on in antiquity. And then they tried to draw association between him and possibly Mary, the wife of Clopas, in the Gospel according to John. But that wasn't enough. They wanted him to be more. So then they started to look and say, this guy might even be the brother of Joseph, the Virgin Mary's husband, making him Jesus' very own uncle. Now, I don't know if I buy that tradition from antiquity, but they tried to make Cleopas something that they expected rather than seeing what he was. These two disciples, Cleopas and the other one, were simply going down the road. 7 miles, give or take, and they were having a discussion about what happened in the last few days. And there was a lot to talk about, no doubt. I mean, we've filled the last 2,000 years talking about the events of this one weekend. But their conversation was a little bit slanted. It was a bit one-sided. See, they were sad. They were disappointed. I imagine as they walked, they listed the things about this Jesus that they loved and appreciated and then would never see again because they had missed some points. And that's when Jesus got to use his phrase. These guys were standing or walking and talking about the pantry of Jesus' work, his active humiliation, which means the time that he did not make full or frequent use of his full divine authority and power. They were looking at the pantry of Jesus' life going, I don't get it. And now we can study years in the future. We can study why it is that they did it. It's because they didn't get who Jesus was and what he was doing. They got some parts of it. They knew Jesus was sent from God, and they knew that when he was riding into Jerusalem just a week ago, something truly magnificent was going on, and so they got high on the moment and wrapped up in the praising of the Savior and his triumphal entry. So they thought this would be the guy. This guy is going to redeem Israel. But they thought that redemption would be someone who would overthrow the Romans and solve all the political problems that they were in. I mean, the Jews at the time, they were governed and conquered people. Yeah, they still had their traditions that they could follow a little bit, but it was nowhere near the glory that they had experienced during the time of David and Solomon. So the Redeemer that they were hoping for, that they got wrapped up in on Palm Sunday, they thought this was going to be the guy to kick all those other people out and set the Jews up as the governing power in the region and maybe even the whole world. But that wasn't what they got from this Jesus. For them, the amazing, gregarious Jesus who was, he was kind of powerful and was amazing, but he suddenly got arrested and then crucified. So for them, their vision of what they were supposed to get in a Redeemer was killed just as surely as Jesus was. So their explanation of the events of the last weekend were focused on the things that they didn't know or they didn't get. Their expectations were not met. And then they would start questioning and doubting everything else, making Jesus' statement quite true and applicable to them. How slow you are to believe. Now, this is the part of the sermon that every pastor and pastoral assistant doesn't really like. It's the time where we ask the question, what about us? Has Jesus ever left you disappointed from your expectations? That's a hard question, isn't it? I know we might want to cry out, no, but I can tell you, you have. Maybe it was the expectation that you had that you would get the job that you wanted, and that would bring along the raise, which of course means that you were going to give more to your church. Naturally, that was part of your prayer. Or maybe it was to make that oh-so-important connection with that special someone that you've had the crush on forever. Well, God wants you to be happy, so you pray for it and expect that it'll come through. Or maybe we pray for a healing of a hurt, a sickness, or the end of a trial. And just like the rain, it keeps coming. It can even be the expectation that we send our kids to Christian schools so that they don't have to deal with the troubles of the secular world, only to find out that there are pockets of the world even inside this carefully cultivated environment. I think it's pretty honest to say that we have found ourselves in a similar emotional state to these Emmaus disciples. Disappointed in our expectations, as genuine and as pious as they might have been, but were not met. And I think it's important to acknowledge this point, that we have had expectations that were missed. And I also think it's important to acknowledge or state that there's a thinking that comes to with Jesus where you just pray it into being, whatever it might be. Now, I don't mean to say that prayer is not a powerful and effective tool. Jesus himself says that it is. But we have to realize that God is concerned first and foremost with our eternity. So the blessings that he does send us each and every day, and he does send them, point back to that truth. If Jesus had turned into the bread king that these Emmaus disciples wanted, they would have had no need to look to God. They would have stopped looking for the Redeemer for their souls. And that truth follows with our prayers. If we got all the good things that we wanted, what would happen? How quickly does that job become the provider for all the good things in your life? Taking you away from regular worship. Might that person with whom we couldn't live without be the person who takes you away from your connection to God? See, our expectations need to align with who and what God says our Savior is. So when Jesus started opening up the scriptures to them, from Moses on, he reoriented their perspective, their expectations. They received an unexpected Jesus. So he was then going to show them that he was exactly what was promised from the beginning. And what a joy that we don't have every detail of this lecture written down. What a joy that we don't have it. We can be glad because now we, who sometimes receive an unexpected Jesus, get to dive into Holy Scripture as well. From Moses on through all the prophets and learn about who this Jesus was and is. Absorbing the Word of God like this has a beautiful ramification of shutting our looking mouths. when we eat this spiritual food up and see that we are strengthened by the promises that are fulfilled from our God, then we don't look at the moments of concern in our lives thinking that we've been left by Jesus, or wonder that, oh, where's God in all of this? Through our diligent study of God's Word, we look at the moments of our lives going, ah, here's Jesus. And here's Jesus. And that's where Jesus was. He rose from the grave. He rose from the grave then to forgive me completely now before God. With that relationship with our Creator, we can look at whatever struggle is in front of us in a way that we can love and trust in God above all things, even my own expectations. He opened the Scriptures for the disciples to see the promises and the fulfillments. And they knew them at least a little bit, but they had missed a point, so they needed it reopened. And we know them at least a little bit, but we have this beautiful Word of His right in front of us. So we open it. We don't just go to church and go home. We spend time in His Word. We come at 9:15 for our Bible studies. We come again when we have other opportunities to be able to be in the Word, to have it open for us to see who this Jesus is. Our eyes get opened by an unexpected Jesus, so we can see that He is exactly what He was promised to be. And hear that He is exactly where He is supposed to be. Now, Jesus mentioned it very briefly in His lecture. Before His lecture began, He said, and to enter His glory. It's a very small phrase, but it has big meaning. This Jesus who once was slain would be found henceforth at the right hand of God. As Peter said, quoting David, making your enemies a footstool. Jesus would be found in the most powerful position in the universe, with everything under Him, under His power and His control. He had redeemed Israel and His faithful people with His death and resurrection, using His holy precious blood to forgive us for our sins, for the times that we hold our expectations up higher than His promises. He forgives us and opens heaven as our place to be. He purchased us with a purpose, holy above the vain and shallow things of this world, so that our expectations can rightly be that He opened heaven and creates faith in our hearts, which He does. He sends His Holy Spirit to plant in us the seed of faith in our baptism. And He continues to come to us in His Word for all of us. And as we know and grow in our knowledge and wisdom, He comes to us again in the sacrament of Holy Communion, to feed our faith, to put our expectations right with who He is. In these ways, in these means of grace, He never lets us down. Yet we can still talk about the unexpected Jesus, because He blesses us through these means far beyond whatever it is that we can expect. This Jesus sits on high and He continues to bless us in super abundant love. Now, sure, maybe it's not what we really wanted, but He gives us more. And when we open our eyes to see who this Jesus is in his word, oh, the superabundant love of our Savior becomes evident. Now Jesus sat and ate with his disciples, and he gave thanks and broke the bread, and that was his custom as the leader of his people. But this wasn't a celebration of the Passover meal that they had just a few days before. So we ought not to think of this as a communion celebration with the Emmaus disciples, because he disappeared before it was finished. This was the final and unexpected surprise for them of the evening. Their hearts and eyes were open to see the truth of God, of the God-man before them. And in the scriptures that they knew, their hearts burned. And they needed to get back to speak this truth and to acknowledge this unexpected Jesus. So may Jesus come to us through his word. And may he come to us through his spirit, so that when we look at our Bibles and our lives, our mouths do drop open. But not in a vain, empty searching for what we expect, but they drop in awe of exactly who this Jesus is and how much he has loved us and done for us. May our hearts burn within us as we hear his voice. Amen.